Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
The following program is brought to you by the Preferred Home Team. Content is provided for general information only and should not be treated as a substitute for professional advice from your legal or real estate advisors. Welcome to the Real Estate Radio Hour, a forum of ideas, plans, and expert advice on all things real estate. Andy Prasky with RE/MAX Advantage Plus was named Super Agent by Minneapolis St. Paul Magazine. Chris Rooney of RE/MAX Preferred is a Lakeshore and Luxury Home Specialist. Together, they cover the Twin Cities. This combined dynamic duo has sold over 2,000 homes, ranked in the top 1% nationwide, top 10 in the state of Minnesota, and still have time to get together every Saturday to talk about real estate. Here's Abby Prasky and Chris Rooney, Denny Long, and the Real Estate Radio Hour.
And good morning. Welcome to another edition of our Real Estate Show here on 830 WCCO. Chris and Andy in studio. And guys, you and I were talking about next week, about that big game weekend. And we're going to be doing our show live down in the, just below here, at the Cambria Gallery.
I know. That's going to be kind of interesting.
That's street level.
Yeah.
A lot of folks, big stars coming in, I guess, besides yourselves.
Yeah, of course.
Right.
So that'll be next
week
from. Yeah, it will be fun. Yeah, anything can happen.
Yeah.
Anything is going to happen
there. Yeah, no, totally. Well,
hopefully. Right. It'll be more exciting if it does. So we,
yeah.
A few celebrity sightings would be fun. But
That's next week. But as usual, I always like to ask you guys right off the bat how your week was in real estate and maybe moreover how December was.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what. I got to kind of eat some crow on December.
Uh-oh.
I was telling everyone that you're going to find out in January that December was a great month. I mean, that the sales were a lot higher, blah, blah, blah. Well, they were actually less than year over year from last year, which I don't know. I was just totally stunned by that. Everyone I talked to was busy.
Yeah, those are national numbers. I mean, I think locally here we haven't seen those yet, but the in my office and in my world actually had more pending sales in December than we've had in many previous years.
Ooh.
So it was, you know, I think that it left us all on a high note ending the season or ending the year. And then some of that rolled over into obviously the January, February. But this week in housing, I think there's so many, again, distractions of the, you know, hey, it's winter, it's spring, the Super Bowl, all these other things going on. Open houses, we're still seeing some people, but it's generally a little more of a distracted market. And rates jumped up a little bit this week, which we'll talk about later in the show too. So things are all in motion towards a healthier housing market. So I don't think that the, you know, 3.7% or whatever that the sales were down year over year, I don't see that as any kind of a sign of something that's happening.
You don't? Okay.
I really don't. I think it's just a matter of we're just getting used to our new normal again as to this housing market as it gets back on its feet.
Yeah, no, that's a good point, and I think everything is shaping up to be really good. And you know, this big game weekend is typically kind of a milestone marker for a lot of people putting their house on the market. They wait until after that big game. We can't say what it is, I guess, but everyone is kind of like it's after that. Is that that's when everyone starts kind of getting going again?
Yep.
I think it's kind of interesting. You know, we talk about distractions. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was a kind of a big snowstorm.
Yep.
You know, but I'll tell you what, we took advantage of that in getting some photos.
Sure.
Because I'll tell you what, if you have like clean white snow, that actually looks really good.
It looks almost as good as the garden pictures when everything's green and beautiful.
Yeah.
Interesting perspective.
Yeah. So you can kind of take advantage of some of that stuff. And We are getting, you know, you're talking about this week again, getting lots of showings.
Mm-hmm.
They're all starting to pick up again. Inventory is still low.
Mm-hmm.
So I would always, I'm highly suggesting people get their homes on the market. And yep. I think it's just a real good time to do it, because you take advantage of that. I mean, mm-hmm. what are we down? 20, 24, 25%?
Right.
Our inventory is down that much. You get on the market, you're not competing against much. It might not be in the best, mm-hmm. you know, the perfect opportune time that makes your house perfectly shine, but you're not competing against many people.
Right. Well, and I think that organically people are in that as soon as we start getting the thaw, you know, you start seeing the old water dripping and the sidewalks clearing and when you get into that mindset of the spring market, and then people start thinking about, well, you know, hey, let's get that move going. And if we start building now, or if we buy that house now, we can get in there and the kids graduate or get out of school. And then we're able to enjoy the summer in the new house. There's a lot of that. And I think that if you've ever thought about, you know, at least recently that, you know, I want to get my house on the market in the next 6 months, I'd suggest you expedite that experience and get going sooner than later. It seems to be that the market is very thirsty right now for nice houses, especially we talked about one level houses, three bedroom, two bath, you know, the normal under 300,000 kind of housing right now that's in good shape, nice updated kitchens. Those houses are in huge demand. And the thing that's crazy, a lot of people are scared of selling their houses because they don't know that, you know, what's going to be out there for us to replace it with. So what we're seeing a lot of people doing is when they're building their new dream home or they're building their downsizing retirement home or whatever they're doing, they get started now knowing that they're not going to move in until July or August. And then, you know, they hit the end of the summer market. And so they'll list their house, you know, right before Memorial Day or whatever. And then that timing works out as well. So it's just, you know, even though it's winter, it's like the boat show happened. The big super game is happening. All those are what I call normal buying signs. They're selling signs to get out there and get on the market.
How many houses are attractive enough to purchase here in this particular area that have no basement? I was reading an article recently about certain houses, nice homes, mm-hmm. but no basement. And in fact, we've received some text messages, got to have a basement in case of tornadoes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, do we have slab-on-grade homes here, a lot of them?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, they're all over. I mean, Chris, you and I have sold them for years. And it's kind of like the national builders, a lot of them brought that into this marketplace because we always, with the frost lines, we have to go down below frost line anyway with our footings. Sort of like, you know what, hey, let's go another 4 feet down and now we can have a full basement of storage or whatever. So in some communities, they have rock or they'll have granite or they'll have, you know, things that prohibit them from going deeper, or high water tables, for an example, is another thing. So the slab-on-grade house is very viable in Minnesota. One of the things that we've done in the past to address that with the storm challenge is having an actual designated storm room, you know, and there's ways to address that when you're building your new, you know, slab-on-grade home. The existing ones, you know, you can ask, but some of them don't have the you may have to make an alternative plan that if there is a storm, you go somewhere else. But very viable, affordable product.
And I think the other, I mean, that storm thing comes up all the time, but the other thing that comes up is storage. And so you got to try to, I mean, a lot of those lower levels, people want one level living, but they use that basement for storage. So you have to try to, you know, accomplish that too. And sometimes it's just with a bigger garage, mm-hmm. it's storage above the garage.
Yep.
But yeah, there is, I mean, like in every listing that we go into, there's the positives and there's the challenges.
Mm-hmm.
And then you kind of just, you got to overcome those. Those are things you can't change. I mean, slab on grade, it is what it is. But now you got to give them, you got to think about what those problems are. Hey, where do we go for the storm? Where do we put our storage? And then you got to be able to try to solve that for them.
Well,
or you have to clear that place out mm-hmm. and make it look as big as you possibly can. And they act like, oh my gosh. So they don't. When they walk through and they see boxes piled to the ceiling in the second bedroom that you're not using, they're going to say, oh, wow, there's no storage here. Well, you have to get all those boxes out of there.
Right, right. Well, and if you do a little bit of planning ahead of time, you know, Denny, the idea there, think of this. You can't go down and you can't go out necessarily for more space. So what you're going to naturally do is want to go up. So most people go up into the storage, you know, attics or the trusses, and they – some of those houses, just so you know, are not designed to have weight loads other than snow up in those attics. And so be very careful. There are some techniques that you can use. Like if somebody wanted to get additional storage above their garage, there's ways to skin 2x6s onto the existing trusses that are there. You work with the truss and you work with a structural engineer. You're going to spend $1,000 designing it, but you may be able to get a weight load up there on an existing slab on grade home, which is nice, you know, to put the holiday items or whatever else. But if you're building new, it's very affordable. For $1,500, you can put in there what they call a storage truss so that it actually looks like the inside of a shed. And they'll plywood the floor. They'll put a light in there. They'll drop down a set, you know, and it's very, very affordable and super smart.
Great idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. And I think that's kind of what we do on a daily basis is that you gotta overcome those objections, you know, but then again, there's other people that they want those. And I think a lot of times what people do, and sometimes it just doesn't work. Sometimes houses aren't just for absolutely everyone.
Right.
But for the right person, they're going to pay for that. And so you got to kind of market towards that.
Well, and think about this too, Chris. You've been downtown here selling condos too. And, you know, it comes down to where, okay, you buy this beautiful $500,000 condo. You've got a one stall in the basement for the garage. But if you're a biking person or you have hiking activities, you have whatever, now you need a storage facility unless they have a bike corral or a storage locker that you can actually have or storage closets as they sometimes will have. So as our market, our housing needs keep changing, we keep evolving. Like even the slab-on-grade houses that are out there, they may have a two-car attached garage, but you still got to think about things like bikes, lawnmowers, or whatever, you know what I mean, that goes with that. So,
but in the selling process, that's what I'm getting at, is that you have to put those bikes over at the neighbor's house. And it's not like,
or hang them.
Yeah, exactly, and do that. But if you put them out in the open, that's what people think. And they're like, oh, but there's no room for the bike.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now if you hang it, oh, that's a great idea. You get the bike out of the way. Oh boy, I can have a bike down here.
Right.
You know, so it's in how you market it. So.
And you guys talk about the interior of the home too. If there's clutter, I don't mean like picture frames and things, but if there's too much furniture, right? You got to kind of move sideways when you want to get to the bathroom something. You've seen those a lot, haven't you?
It's funny because when I go through houses, I call it the Chris Rooney effect. And I got to be able to walk through and not hit stuff. And I'm not the smallest guy. I'm not Andy size, but I. But you know, seriously, when you walk through, and it's like, hey, two of us have to walk through, and if we're hitting stuff, you got to get it out of there because clutter's a big thing.
And remember this too: naturally, people are drawn to things of interest. Like when they walk in the house, and you can see a beautiful view of the lake, they want to walk right through that house nonstop, go right through that window, and take a look at the view. Then they turn around and look back at your house, and sometimes, like Chris and I will talk about this, walk through your house like I am right now for the first time experiencing your home, because this is probably the same path that new home buyer is going to take. And let's navigate it and make sure that your house looks in its best light when we're doing those tours.
Very good. Tell you what, we have more show to come, so stand by. This is The Real Estate Show here on 830 WCCO.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
And welcome back to this portion of The Real Estate Show here on 830 WCCO. If you're just joining us, Chris and Andy in studio, but you guys have brought a couple of guests with you as well.
The Bay Equity guys, Bay Equity Home Loans. Russell Hillier and Travis Christensen are with us today. We did want to talk a little about mortgage insurance. I think that's mortgage insurance in the industry is a lot of people don't know what the heck it is. So maybe we should just start out by what is that? Because a lot of people see like homeowners insurance and then there's mortgage insurance and they're different.
Right. Yeah. Mortgage insurance is put in place by the lender, depending on what type of loan you have. Conventional loans, anytime you're over 80% loan to value, meaning your loan is 80% of the appraised value, you're going to be looking at mortgage insurance. FHA loans carry mortgage insurance as well, but there's a little bit of a difference between the two. In most cases, FHA loans have mortgage insurance for the life of the loan, depending on your term. And with conventional loans, you can get rid of it once your loan-to-value drops down to 80 or 78% loan-to-value. But there are different types of mortgage insurance that you can look at. There's single-pay upfront mortgage insurance where you can just pay it out and have that amount financed. There's what's called split-edge where you can pay a portion of it upfront.
Hold on. Let's step back on that one. So you can pay it upfront so you don't have that monthly cost.
Correct.
Yeah, and so which would obviously make your payment less.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And then there's split edge in which you can pay a portion of it up front. So you're not getting hit with that big dollar figure up front. And then it still drops the monthly. It doesn't completely take it away, but it drops it considerably. So there's definitely many different ways to look at mortgage insurance. So you want to make sure you talk to your lender about the various options, because some people just think that it's black and white and there's only one way of.
Well, I was going to say, as a listener, I'm sitting there saying, okay, cool, I can drop my mortgage insurance and lower my payment. What is that process, Russell? I mean, you know, or Travis, whichever. What is that process of going through that exercise with your current lender to see if you are eligible to drop that?
And that's, you know, when we do our face-to-face with customers, prime examples, I had a customer coming this week, and he was kind of teetering between putting 5% down and looking at the PMI options or doing 10% down and doing an 80-10-10. Now with that 80-10-10, it's split three mortgages or two mortgages, 80%, a little second, and then 10% down. But the exercise kind of that I ran him through was it boils down to, first off, the deal that you're getting on the property, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac require you to make 24 payments before you can challenge and try getting that private mortgage insurance removed. And so this is done through an appraisal showing that you have more than 20% equity in the property. And so what I'll do is I'll sit down with the borrower. You know, let's say they're putting 5% down. We'll look at doing just the monthly private mortgage insurance. Then let's say that's $200 per month. We'll look at doing the upfront mortgage insurance, which let's say that's 2% of the loan amount. So let's say $200,000 loan, you get $4,000 upfront, and then you just never have to worry about getting private mortgage insurance removed.
And so, but does that have to be paid or can that be financed?
Depending on the amount down, if you're only putting 5% down, that's a minimal down required in that product. So you do have to pay for it up front.
Okay. Can the seller pay it for us?
Seller can pay for it.
Okay.
Yep. Through seller pay closing costs.
Okay.
And so, you know, generally speaking, what I'll do is I'll look at it and say, okay, you know, $200 per month, or $4,000 up front, figure out the math on it and figure out if it's going to be more worthwhile for them just to pay the monthly and try getting it off after 2, 3, 4 years or doing the upfront. Because usually the upfront ends up being, if you take $4,000 divided by 200, ends up being 3 to 4 years anyway.
Well, and if a lot of people keep those amortization charts that they give us at closing, what's kind of nice is you can literally circle the date that your payments get you down to that. So you'll know that, okay, that's 9 years out. But if I pay an extra $200 a month or whatever, and the house appreciates at the same time, we could get there in a couple, like you're saying, maybe even in a couple, you know, 4 or 5 years.
Yep. And we run into sometimes where, you know, you've got a borrower buying a distressed property. You know, maybe they do home improvements to the property, finish off the basement. And within that 2 year time, they've got 20% equity. We'll set reminders to reach out to that borrower. Get in touch with the local appraiser and see if they can get that value at, you know, 20% equity, because that saves them a couple $100 a month.
Sure.
I had a buyer ask one time about mortgage insurance, and they didn't really know what it was, but what they thought it was is that if they stopped making payments, it would make the payments for them. You know, it insures, but what it does is it insures the lender of a default.
It should be called loan insurance is what it should be called. I mean, it's basically, it's a policy for your bank that you're getting the money from to cover them, right?
Yeah, it's a high risk, you know, it's a higher risk loan. You're putting less than 20% down. So what that covers a lender from is you buy a house for $100,000. You have private mortgage insurance. If that forecloses and the bank takes a loss on that, that's loss coverage for the bank. And so if it sells for 90 grand, that covers that 10 grand for the bank.
Yeah, so that's obviously why they do it. And that's why they say, hey, if you have 20% equity in it, I mean, the bank looks at it or the lender looks at it kind of like, go ahead and screw up, because we want that house back, because we'll end up making money on it. And it's just less risk for them. So then you don't have to have mortgage insurance.
Well, and it's super nice that we as a consumer get to pay that insurance policy for them too, which I, you know, I kind of joke about. But it's in a way, you know, but here's the thing. You got somebody that's putting a risk into you too. They're believing in you and what you've produced for income statements and the ability to repay, and they're making a calculated business decision based on what you've told them. And so there's lots of different ways to approach, obviously, financing properties. There's the strategy of right now we don't have a lot of – we're not heavy on equity or cash, so we come in with a minimal down product and we pay mortgage insurance. A couple years down the road, maybe we refinance or find a different product that can lower that payment. And, you know, I think that there's – what would you guys say? I mean, how many people go into a loan like that doing a temporary – you know, versus I want a 30-year, I'm never going to change it or pay it off kind of. Or...
You know, I mean, in the United States, the average consumer has a mortgage for about 3.5 years, whether that's upgrading, downgrading, refinancing, cash out, whatever the reason might be. And so it's important for you when you sit down with your mortgage consultant, really tailor that to your 5-year goals, your 10-year goals. We don't want to have you come in and pay closing costs again,
right?
You know, to refinance. So, the most commonly refinanced loan is FHA. Mm-hmm. You know, you have that private mortgage insurance. It's spendy. It's on it for the entire course of the loan. If you do the math on it, with that mortgage insurance, essentially it's like a 6.5% interest rate mortgage. Mm-hmm. With where rates are at right now. So,
well, and the loan, depending on the loan that you get, you have to be a little smart. You have to be a little careful with the fact that if you're refinancing every couple of years, I had a good friend, client of mine that had that where they were VA and they kept refinancing and they'd put the funding fee on top. And so all of a sudden they had $25,000 worth of extra, you know, debt against that property because of all those funding fees they kept but their payment was lower. So they were looking at just the payment and not the payoff. Yeah. And you can put yourself in a bad spot quick. So it's nice to talk to guys like you that actually are insightful and looking ahead for the how do we get you in a great position of having this paid off or get you where you want to go.
Yep. And that's
I was just going to say Russell Hillier and Travis Christensen are with us today with Bay Equity Home Loans, talking a little bit about mortgage insurance. We're going to go to the break here real soon, I think, Denny, right?
Yeah.
And then I think we're going to come back and maybe you guys can give some tips. Tax season's coming up, like what people need to collect and do all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think it's interesting to say, I mean, that like in the home buying process, there's actually really three different types of insurance that happen. And it's confusing. There's hazard insurance. That's if the place burns down or there's an accident or something mm-hmm. that's taken care of or a hailstorm. Then there's mortgage insurance, which insures the mortgage against default. And then there's title insurance. Mm. And that title insurance ensures that the title is good. So the lender doesn't have a problem later on as well. So you're paying for that too, Andy.
Owner's policy.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Very good. Thank you.
Yep. Hey, there's more to come here, so stay with us. We'll take this break here in the Real Estate Show. Stay with us here on 830 WCCO. And welcome back to this portion of the Real Estate Show here on 830 WCCO. Chris and Andy in studio. And again, folks who may have joined us a little bit late, who did you bring with you today?
Well, we let Andy Prasky come on the radio.
Thank you, sir. He's been
around here for a while. So
he actually let me in the studio this week. I'm normally out in the alley, Denny.
Exactly. You know, and they're... And I think the surprising thing is they're going to put us down in the Cambria Gallery
yeah.
out for everyone to see. So they usually
one week
hide
from
us.
Today. Yeah.
So that's next Saturday. And then Travis Christensen and Russell Hillier are with us with Bay Equity Home Loans. We've been talking about mortgage insurance. And, you know, a lot of people that purchased homes last year, you know, they probably have to do a little different stuff on their taxes. Now, we all can't give tax advice, but there are some things that they should look for.
Definitely. If you did purchase your first home or purchased a home last year, it is a good time to make handy that closing package that you received at the title company when you closed on your loan. They would have given you a nice little package of a lot of documents that you probably shoved in a drawer somewhere when you got home from the closing and never looked at again. But there is a document in there called your closing disclosure, and that's one thing that you should definitely make handy for your accountant when you do file your taxes. What we do at Bay Equity is we contact every single one of our past clients that closed a loan with us last year and make sure we provide them with a closing disclosure just so they're not going out and trying to dig through it. And we'll get another copy out to them just to make it handy and convenient. That's one of the main things you're going to want to dig out of that package and get your hands on when you're filing your taxes.
Hmm. You know, I wasn't able to be here last weekend, but you had Chris Mahold with MFK and Associates on.
Yeah, what a great show.
Yeah, you guys talked a lot about it. I got a couple comments on that.
Denny giggles. No, those guys were great. I just asked them questions, and they entertained the crowd. But, I mean, man, that guy knows his information, you know, and that Chris Galler was kind of nice, too, commenting on how the new, you know, tax reform was coming through, how it affected Minnesota and our listeners and with their taxes and their – you know, the interest mortgage deduction and all that stuff was the podcast is on the play.it. You can go back there and listen to that, too, for those of you that missed it. But it was a good show.
Yeah, that's good. How about interest rates? How are the rates doing?
You know, we had, there was about a three-month just lull of just rates staying stagnant. I mean, literally not any movement. And it's just this last 2 weeks they've gone up. You know, they're conventional. They were hitting about 3.875, 4% for about 3 months, and they're about 4.375, 4.5 right now, just from what it's gone up this last 2 weeks. You know,
that's so significant.
It really is. I
mean, well, they were talking. I've in the regs they're talking about having where they're anticipating by the end of the year to see closer to 5, mm-hmm. which is still fantastic. By the way, I mean, my gosh, When I was 2003, when I was like, oh my gosh, it dipped to 4.75 for one day. I was so excited, and it, but that was, you know, back when rates were 6% and 7%. So, but it.
I think anyway. The other thing too is that people automatically say, oh, the refinance market's over, But just what we were talking about in the last segment, the mortgage insurance, mm-hmm. there's a significant difference when you get rid of that. You mentioned it. I think I want to kind of clarify that a little. You said it's like a 6.5% rate. And what you meant by that mm-hmm. is that your payment based on that mortgage amount is it with the mortgage insurance on top of it, yep. all that equal together would have equaled out to equal to a 6.5%
interest rate. 6.5% interest rate.
So if you dump that and get rid of it yep. and you finance it, even if you have a rate at 4 mm-hmm. and you go at 4.5 or 5, you're probably going to be better off yep. because values have gone up.
They have.
And so, it's a great opportunity for people yep. still to even refinance.
Yep.
And there's the values. How about that, Andy?
That's insightful. I was thinking the whole time you're saying that it almost reminds me of hard money lending because, you know, when you don't have the equity and you don't have that, you know, you have a bank taking risk on you. They deserve a higher yield because you're a higher risk. You have less, you know, skin in the game. But on the other hand, you know, we try to get as many people into homeownership as we can. And like we talked about the benefits of the community and the schools that, you know, have the benefit of that as well.
Explain a hard money lender.
A hard money lender is literally.
In what position would they come in?
Well, for an example, a lot of builders, developers, where they can't go to the bank, for an example, to get traditional financing, there's lending groups that are out there that exist that actually you can go to that will give you a loan out of their private money. So they literally go to the bank for you and give you a loan on or a mortgage on that property for you, just like a bank would. Generally, that crowd is helping someone that the bank can't help, which means you're probably a little bit higher risk, or you have a lot of other items leveraged. Like you might have 30 houses under construction at one time, and so the bank is full, and they may say, you know what, you're going to have to get your money elsewhere for this last 3 houses, and they may have to roll into that private equity market. So that's what hard money lending is, and generally it's a little more expensive when you get your money from somebody that actually is counting the money coming back in versus a bigger bank.
A lot more expensive, but who's counting? I mean, no, but seriously, it sometimes it can get really expensive.
10-12%.
They'll charge a high interest rate. Typically, the term and the term is a lot shorter as well. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so it's made for things like that. I mean, if your builders can't be putting up these models and selling them, they're probably not going to be able to sell them if you don't have something to have.
In these all these late night seminars you see where they say, oh, you can flip the house and use our money. And that, well, guess what that is, guys? Yeah. That's you using their hard money. Mm-hmm. And what's happening is they're making a killing on giving those loans out to people that think they can flip houses. Mm-hmm. And sure it's great.
How about anything new in the industry that our listeners should know?
You know, we're coming out with some really neat, it's not a one-time close construction of perm, but it's a very comparable, it's actually a local banking product. I know you probably want to get in touch with us about that. it's very, the closing costs are very similar to a one-time close. They'll do financing, you know, a lot of these smaller builders that are doing 2, 3, 4, or 5 houses per year, we can actually get them financing. So it's a really neat constructed, local, construction loan product where customers aren't having to put 15-20% down to do your, traditional construction financing.
That's
something we got coming down the hatch.
I really encourage people to just sit and talk to a lender. Mm-hmm. I mean, seriously, the preparation and all the different programs that are out there, mm-hmm. you know, and I think sometimes what people do is they go out to that open house on Sunday and say, oh my gosh, I love it. And now it's like, hey, I got to get a letter. We got to get this thing done. Right. We don't have time to prepare.
Well, it was interesting. I was talking with 2 agents yesterday that came in because we're seeing the market right now where lenders are getting direct to the consumer, And so you're actually seeing kind of a shift right now in the way that we work with real estate agents where we're going to the consumer and then the consumers are going out. We're getting them out to the real estate agents. And they mentioned something really neat that back in the 90s, realtors used to go to loan officers for business because it was just that mentality that people went and got pre-approved first. And then they go out to the real estate agents, and then it kind of had a cultural shift where people went to do the fun stuff first, I say. And then, you know, we're perceived as a dentist. It's not the fun part, you know, it's getting pre-approved.
They want to go drive the car first before.
It's like the old getting married first analogy. Nowadays, it's done a little different, isn't it? Yeah, they sometimes. So
I'll tell you, when I first got kind of going in the real estate industry, no comment, Andy, but we used to qualify everyone ourselves. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was kind of the thing. You know, hey, we had to do it and take all their, you know, their debts and do all that kind of stuff and say, okay, you're about here. Which is crazy.
Well, we started and they gave me a financial calculator. I'm like, I don't want to do this part. I just want to sell stuff. I don't want to get into the numbers. And so I remember that it was about the time that they were swinging over towards the lender becoming a partner and saying, okay, here you go. You know, take this customer and figure them out or help them out.
Well, that's something we got a really neat tool coming down the line here. It's actually coming out at the end of Q1. I'm sure I'm not going to do a plug for the other lender, but it's actually going to be a really neat tool for real estate agents because it'll be a simple link, 6 questions for you to ask the borrower, and that's going to pull a soft pull, an accurate credit score, 2 credit scores.
Seriously?
And it's going to do a soft pre-approval. It's going to, the borrower puts in their name, last 4 of their social, purchase price, down payment, and income. And it's going to literally pull a soft pull credit report. It's going to give them their scores, and it's going to say you're pre-approved. And so instead of that buyer getting, walking out of your office and then procrastinating probably for a month to call.
That never
not
happens.
Fun, guys. Right. You know,
yeah.
You guys literally will be able to kind of do a soft prequal right there on the spot.
Mm.
And so, and it pulls their liabilities from credit. It's calculating their debt to income.
Yep.
You know, and those are actually the scores that we're going to use when we go to do the real full prequalification.
Well, you know, I know Chris and I, we're a little more old school, like where we're saying, like our clients, when they come in, we're not, you know, running them around and showing them 50 houses before we get the prequalification. Mm-hmm. We won't do that. Mm-hmm. I literally will show anybody a house once, but after that, it's like, you know what, let's do our homework so we're ready, because I'm going to put you on top of the best deal in the Twin Cities. You got to be able to grab it, because I can find you the best deal, but if you can't perform, what's the point of even looking? You can look online when you want to shop. I think the pre-approval has to be done, and I think that is a probably the most important part of the whole process, is getting that lender in line and lining it up and getting that pre-qualification so you understand the payment, how much you're going to have to put down, and what that means when you're writing an offer.
And that'll give you guys the power to do that right on the spot. You know,
fun.
And another thing, like what we've been talking about with the different options with mortgage insurance and the rates going up a little bit, it's very important to sit down with the lender and look at the various options and create a plan that's going to meet your needs. And it's tough to do that when you've already ran out, you found the house, and now you're scrambling for financing.
So, Russell, if I wanted to find you to get one of those meetings set up, how do we find you two guys as a listener if I wanted to sit down with you and talk to you about lending?
I can be reached at 952-679-6834. My website is mortgageman.info. And Travis?
Mortgageman.info. I like it.
And my phone number is Southern Minnesota number, but 507-995-7775.
Right, very good. Let's take a break. We have more show to come here, so don't go away. More of the Real Estate Show here on 830 WCCO.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
And welcome back to this portion of the Real Estate Show here on 830 WCCO. Chris and Andy, I want to ask you something. I know we have a few minutes to go in the show. What's a one thing, if you can think of one thing, that you would advise a client who is maybe getting ready to sell their home? Is there one thing that just kind of strikes you initially before you get to
improve or to remove?
Both. Let's do both, because I'm sure you suggest both all the time.
Yeah, there's always some depends in that statement, meaning that I think what I may suggest is based on what different price bracket I'm in.
Right.
So, but I don't know. We talked a little about it earlier. So if I told people to do one thing, mm-hmm. I think it would be decluttering. And make it look as big as you possibly can.
Well, it's like wearing clean clothes in an interview, in my opinion. You mm-hmm. have to declutter and you have to clean the house up. But like things like, you know, like wallpaper. I know that it's kind of interesting. This was a conversation we've had 1,000 times with the interior decorating teams, that when we go into a house to help them stage it, wallpaper is always the problem. When they're remodeling a new house and trying to make a new house look warm and cozy, now they're adding wallpaper back in again. So it's like, to me, it's kind of, it's more of, are you on trend, right? So can you paint that ugly green and orange wallpaper and have it white so it looks like a textured wall now, and actually create something for, you know, perception of value for very little money? That's what I would follow that. You know, taking out the bathrooms, for an example, some of these, you know, 1950s built Ramblers, the Orrin Thompson Ramblers, if you guys remember, they'll have like blue toilets or pink toilets and pink bathtubs. That stuff's kind of coming back.
I mean, it is.
You could update your tile, you update your countertop a little bit, and somebody's going to come in and say, oh, what a cute retro bathroom. And they'll think you did it that way instead of you.
And some of the tile work is excellent, too.
They're not cracked. The grout's great. Yeah. I mean, you wish you could go back in the day. But anyway, so those are some of the things that I think I would look at. Now, what about, like, Chris, for an example, let's say that you're in a house where you have a major project, like that kitchen is hideous. It was, you know, and you're sitting there, what do we suggest? I mean, obviously, you know, next week we could be down at the Cambria studio and pick a beautiful quartz top there, but for the listener, what do you do?
Well, I mean, if it's all totally dated, I think there's a point of like you got to go too far or not do much at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I think at that point it's to me, what I would do in a house like that has totally dated, I would have it just all repainted.
Mm-hmm.
And try to get it the same color and declutter it, make it look as big as possible. But if there's a room that I would concentrate on, it would 100% be the kitchen,
mm-hmm.
you know, in which to do. And there's ways in which to do the kitchen that can flip it around. And that comes sure. with like hardware mm-hmm. and fixtures. And so if you're, you know, if you do a light fixture and you do new hardware on it,
yeah.
and then you'd get, you know, so a new faucet.
Right.
You can flip that kitchen around and have it a totally different look with not a lot of money.
Well, and I think a lot of people too, Denny, it depends on the customer and their level of concern. But like you think about, oh, we're leaving all of our appliances. I personally don't want your appliances. I don't want your old wash machine with your dander in there. And you know what I mean? No offense, but that's gross. I don't want to sit on your old toilets. I don't, you know what I mean? It's like those are the things that I would personally want all that to be redone. I'd like a new bathroom with a new toilet. I'd like to have a new washer and a dryer there that's never been used with the sticker still on it. You guys are all giggling. I'm not that weird. I'm not quite wearing the shoe boxes on my feet yet, but I'm there. I'm on my way. But, you know, the idea there is that, you know, think about the experience that person coming in is going to go through. They walk in the door, like you said, the most important room because it's visited the most. It's where we entertain, is the heart of the house, is the kitchen. But if you stick $50,000 into a kitchen, which is easy to do, you're probably going to get $30,000 back, or your house will sell faster, but you're not going to get the full return back. But we've talked about this too. Maybe you, on a 2-year plan, you get your kitchen done now, you enjoy it for 2 years. So it's still a newer kitchen when you go to sell your house, and you get some money out of it that way too.
You know, we talked about like doing cabinets. I mean, you don't have to take all the boxes out. You can remove the doors. You can mm-hmm. take some of those cabinets out and then paint them and put new doors on the front, and it can look great. So there's what we just talked about, that with the mortgage stuff,
right?
You know, with Travis and Russell, that you got to prepare. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what everyone else does. You know, the people that are listing and getting their house on the market right now were knowing in the fall they were probably going to do that. And so they got the stuff ready that needed to be ready, because we're not going outside right now and repainting the trim. You know, you can't do that. And so it's kind of like, well, we better not put it on because the trim looks horrible. So we got to wait for good weather. But if you plan ahead, you know, you can jump on this market now, which is inventory is down 25%,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to be one of few rather than the other people that, you know, have to still do their trim paint.
In our last minute or so, you guys have talked about the topic before, but how important are odors when you're selling a home? I bet you've had some interesting times.
I think it's going to be a big Rooney. Problem with Andy knowing his other little things.
I'm going to walk in there with the Lysol in front of me.
Some way to neutralize these odors. And that's important, odors. Though, right?
I'll tell you a huge one, Denny, where people sure. just turn around and walk out is smoke.
Yeah.
You know, if there's smoke. You know, that I had one listed about 2 years ago that was smoke. And, mm-hmm. I mean, we tried to air that thing out. We brought the you know, those machines that
ozone
machines and stuff like that, mm-hmm. but it people just couldn't look past it.
Well, and it gets
someone finally
to that.
Did, and then they tore it down.
Yeah, I mean, we've had it where you replace the carpet, you actually paint the floors, the walls, the ceilings. Sure. You got to paint everything, scrub out the old HVAC system, and sometimes that even needs to be, you know, tuned up, and then you can still have the hint of smoke in that house.
Something.
So then, you know, between that and the ozones, you know,
all
you
right.
can fix it, but.
Well, I'll tell you what. How do we get in touch with you? We're just about out of time here. How do we get in touch with both of you guys?
It's Prasky.com, Prasky.
Okay.
Prasky.com.
Why? Because we care.
We do. And ChrisRooney.com is mine.
All right. Excellent. We'll see you next week, guys. We'll make sure we're all in makeup when we head down to the Cambria Gallery next week. We're going to be doing a show right on the street level tomorrow. Hope you join us then here on 830 WCCO.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you.
Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.